Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Surprise, motherfucker.
So, another episode proudly sponsored by the best competition page in the whole fucking
world.
You're right. Bar Kings, the best deals, cheap prices, no hole licks, straightforward, and
you have more of a chance.
You have more of a chance to win in Our Kings than anywhere else because it's literally Ireland-based, the North and the South. And we are proudly sponsored by Boutique Infinity Tan and Salon, top of the weight rack road, state-of-the-art sunbed facility. Get up and check it out, folks. If you want your balls tanned, this is the spot to go.
Sorry for near jumping down your neck. Sorry, hope you enjoy the podcast.
I'd dive at 40 probably, wouldn't it be?
It just depends how hard you train and how good you look after yourself. Look at Ronaldo. He's still out fucking.
He's
still international level. Like,
it's sound.
Keep spotting here for it.
Isn't it?
We just use our mics and we don't own all our equipment. So class. We just set up.
We will upgrade eventually, like, but this is our working class setup for now. Like, you know what I mean?
So, Paul, mate, nice to have you on. We're rolling eyes on, aren't we? Your deputy, Lord Mayor, is that the right name for it?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
It's mad. It's something I didn't expect. You know, it doesn't happen to people in Turf Lodge that often. So very proud moment, like, but a bit shocked by it and stuff, you know, I didn't see it coming. But kind of got the support, you know, around the room and stuff, and my name was put forward and was accepted and I, so a wee bit of a whirlwind. Had to think about it, you know, and kind of, you know, is this the right thing to do? And I thought, you know, the sort of things that I'm doing is all kind of focused around poverty and community here and what we're trying to do to tackle that. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do it and I'm going to try to amplify that message and try to bring as many more people along with me as we try to do all these things in the community, you know. So it's a big moment, proud moment, like, for everybody in the family.
Fair play. Wait, is that many years is that before? Is it
just a year? So I'm just doing it till next June.
There's a Lord Mayor and then a Deputy Mayor, is that what it is?
It's a funny system, not in this term or anything. Yeah. Maybe, you never know. But I'm happy with this. And I never thought this is a once in a lifetime, so really been enjoying it. And, you know,
you've obviously been putting in the groundwork, but do you know what I mean? It's great.
You know, a lot of pride for me, but also from a community as well. You know, it's great for people at Turf Lodge to get this. And one of the first things that I did was go up to Holy Trinity, you know, and I was giving out an awards day, and that was a proud moment for me to go back to my old school in Holy Trinity and you know, see how well the kids are doing up there, the old teachers and all as well. So it's a great school, you know, so I love going back, you know, and it was a nice thing, and to say to the kids, listen, kids, you know, I'm from Turf Lodge, you're from Turf Lodge, you know, you could do this one day. You
like know, a food circle moment.
It was great. I love that school.
Does it have its perks, like, does it? You get front row seats in places?
Not really.
Would you be down in the City Hall and all, like, or is that,
to be honest, you could probably go in and sit all day in City Hall and all, you know, with a big chain on you, but I my job is out in the community. I prefer being out in the community and getting stuck in there, you know, so I don't think I'll ever change that.
You have an office in Allytown, isn't it?
Aye. But I work in Allytown, you know, I run food stock up there got 7 days a week, you know, sometimes it's day and night. You know,
is that the same where the Bengal Space is, just facing the chapel?
Yes, just a wee community solidarity hub, which is a good wee spot. You know, we've turned it into a wee cafe there, and it's been great for just being there for, you know, people if they need help with anything, or, you know, we're also running like a job center and all there as well. Working to empower people in the community, you know, sometimes, you know, obviously I got myself growing up, sometimes places like Turf Lodge, places like West Belfast, you kind of grow up with your head down, you know, so for us, we're trying to say to people, you know, there is stuff out there for you, and just go out.
Fair play to you, mate.
I always see people in it. Like when I've actually never been in it myself, and I'm from Allentown, but I must call in, definitely, 100%.
No, it's a good spot. That whole thing of food stock, I don't know how much you know about it, but that started off in my garage in the house. You know, it's started off as a food bank in the garage in the house, but I always say the origins came from Turf Lodge. You know, I grew up in Turf Lodge, and you know, my man and dad struggled to put food on the table, struggled to heat our home, and you know, I seen, you know, the men I went to school with and stuff as well, struggling, their mas and dads struggle as well. And for me, it was like years later as an adult, like real frustration going, I guess it's still happening.
It's still happening.
You know, but you know, people have pride in West Belfast, and it happens behind closed doors, you know, and that's the hardest thing, but we see it, you know, and with that, you know, a lot of anger going, why is this still happening? You know, so for me, instead of just shouting at the TV, it was about just, you know, let's channel that anger and frustration and go and do something. And it was a community action. So, you know, just a practical way of doing it was set up food bank in the garage.
I've seen you had like, you would give like a lot of uniform stuff away, but I have a son, obviously, see the fucking prices you pay for some uniforms. It's insane. Swear. And I think the government give you like a grant of 30 quid or something.
Which doesn't do anything.
I remember getting the uniform grant when I was a kid, like from when I was born to me. But it's just what I am.
But you know what?
Up in West Belfast.
That's the thing. And I when I was growing up, it would have been like, I would have got wee man up the streets blazer whenever he left school, and his wee brother would have got my jumper and stuff like that there. And that's when I think, you know, the reason why you start something like that, like food stock out in the community, that's, you think of it, that's where it came from.
Community.
It's all that community. And like growing up on our street, it would have been like if somebody was living on their own, you would have over knocked the door, or somebody's mom would have over knocked the door and said, here's an extra plate, you know, a bowl of stew or something like that. And that kind of sticks with you. And I think that's where I've come from. You know what? That's that community solidarity, that looking out for people. And but there's a lot of people like that. That's the West Belfast way, you know? And that's, I think that's where that thing came from. And there's years later, you know, we've set up that school uniform hub up in Andytown, and we kitted 1500 kids out this summer. 1500, you know, and that's at schools right across the board, you know. And it's look, all we did was create a space and say to people, listen, when we come together and just share these uniforms, you know, there's no embarrassment in it. This is just about community and stuff, and
people have really
so it's been great. And you know what that's done, that's been, you know, apparent. Like I've seen it in my own eyes, and I laugh, like I never thought I'd have a career in retail, but I was me standing there with a fucking measure paper on my neck and all. And my wife cracks up because like I'm just an expert in sizes, and I go, I think our Jonah's like a 32 jumper now. He's not a, now. So when somebody walks through the door, I can tell their sizes now. But you know, the good thing up there was that, see if somebody came in, and people would come in and it'd be difficult, you know, for them as well, struggling. You think if it's 90 quid for a blazer, and PE gear being 200 quid, if you four kids, like where are you getting the money from?
I know, 100%. Big families would struggle the most.
So we had everything out in the shelves, and like, I don't know how many times like a ma or a dad would come in, and whenever they get sorted, they turn around to the kids and say, right, let's go on and get a pizza tonight. Let's go to, you know, go away a wee day trip to Newcastle on the weekend and stuff like that. That's what it means to people whenever you're, you know, that the cost really impacts them, you know. And sometimes your parents going without just to get their kids their uniform, which is mental in 2025. So
I seen a video, I think it was on a Care Mage, he shared it, I seen it on the store, and then I reposted it, but I was near crying watching the video. I was going, fuck,
Karen's a great guy, so he is, you know.
I come from the same street as Karen in Riverdale, like, but I'm glad where I grew up, it was a kind of tight knit community as well. Everybody kind of looks after each other, especially in times of need. Like, glad to be from Riverdale, like, but there's loads of places in West Belfast where it might not be as tight knit community, and people do be struggling. So fair play to you, what you're doing. And I think it's very, very important, especially in 2025, like, because you would get a lot of people that maybe, as you say, they'd be too proud to kind of speak out or speak up about it.
Would you get any anonymous things that people wouldn't want to tell you who they are?
There's loads of that. People are very proud, you know, and you know what I'm proud of as well. Is that, see what we're doing here, it started in West Belfast, but it's working right across Belfast now. You know, we're working in East Belfast, North, South, and it's that community spirit from West to spread right across Belfast now, you know. So that's a thing we should be proud of. Impact. You know, it's sometimes West Belfast gets a lot of stick, you know, and I hate that, but I often turn around and say, well, listen, have you seen this? This is people in West Belfast just getting up in the morning saying, knocking on our door and saying, what can I do to help? And it could be, you know, listen, there's a family over in the Woodvale, Shankill. There's a family over in East Belfast. There's a family in North Belfast. And it doesn't matter who they are. You know, everyone's going through the same thing. You know, when it comes to poverty, when it comes to hardship, there are no borders or barriers or anything. You know, there's no divide. It happens to everybody. And that's one thing I'm proud of. You know, this thing, it started in West, spread right across the city. It's for good. But one of the big things for us, it's about kids going through this. And like, if anybody has kids, it's hard to think of kids being hungry, you know, and that's the big driver for me, you know, and you put yourself in the shoes of them parents and, you know, them finding difficulty well as well. One of the biggest things we're doing at the minute is breakfast clubs out at schools, because there's schools and teachers telling us the kids are getting hungry in the morning. So like, again, there's no big funding coming from a government. There's no funding coming from the council or anything. And we have the community pulling together and doing 3,400 breakfasts every week. We're out this morning to crack it on, getting them out, you know, and it's the thing I'm proud of is, and again, this is the thing, young people get a terrible stick, you know, they do. And what I'm proud of is, see if you go up the RWE Hub in Antytown on a Saturday morning, there's 16, 17, 18-year-olds, and they're getting stuck in. And what I did was I just said, listen, guys, I'm just going to empower you with this project. We're trying to reach all these kids in schools. And they come in every Saturday morning and they knock it out of the park and get that breakfast club ready for 3,400 breakfasts on a Monday morning. And it's great to see, you know, and that's them giving back to their old schools and all as well, which is a great thing. And young people get an awful lot of stick, but we see the best in young people and stuff like that, you know. And what are we responding to? You know, I talk about it all the time, but it's a bit depressing, but I have to highlight it because this is what's going on. It's kids coming in and asking, can they go to the toilet and running around to the canteen and asking the staff for food because they haven't eaten since the day before.
It's hard to imagine that's still going parents on.
Phoning
it's
us,
crazy.
Parents phoning us and saying, look, I feel really guilty. I've sent my kids into school. We've absolutely nothing here. You know, it's stuff like that. And that's what we're responding to. But it's just a community pulling together. Doesn't matter, you know, where you're from or what your background is or what area you live in. It's just pulling together. And we often talk here about cross community and all. I don't really like the term cross community. What we see here is, doesn't matter what your religion is or where you're from or who you are, it's just one community. It's just us all pulling together, just trying to.
Shankill is still West Belfast, but if you go down all them streets, it's the same building, same streets, all same architecture. People,
yeah,
everything's the exact same. You do know what I mean?
It's people going through the same thing, you know, and it's you know, I'm proud. It's and Foodstock and what we do, there's people from Shankill involved, there's people from East Belfast involved, there's people from everywhere involved, you know, and it's just kind of getting stuck in and pulling together to make sure people are all right, you know, which
we're all people at the end of the day, and we're all in the one country, and there's people struggling, you want to help them out, like, you know, you wouldn't want to see anybody struggling, especially people who are in your community. I remember going to school and we're doing like St. Vincent de Paul and all stuff like that. It would have been like coming up to Christmas and people would have gave in like tins of beans and all stuff like that, but I think the things that you're doing that helps go like helps that cause even more, like, so
Christmas is a big one, you know. Christmas is like we're about to launch our Christmas appeal, and that's like last year we were able to reach about 2,000 kids in the community, and it's one of the precious lads.
No,
you know,
but
you know what, see out of that, and that can be quite depressing, but see, the good thing, the positive I take from it is look at the way people pull together.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, and that's the positive thing I take from it. But you know, every Christmas we've been doing stuff like, you know, we're getting Christmas dinners out to people who are living on their own, where, you know, we're pulling together and getting gifts for kids, the families who, whatever they're going through, are saying we can't have a Christmas this year, you know, for whatever reason, and we're saying, you know, as a community, we're not prepared to let that happen, you know, and we're gonna make sure that they can, you know. So, and that's what we do here in the community, you know.
Yeah, see, to be honest, see, last year you actually, I was my mum and dad, and you came to see me last year. It was the week before Christmas. I just want to say thank you for what you've done that week. I was it meant a lot to me and the family. We came in. I'll not say what you've done, but you looked after us, and we really do appreciate what you've done for us, mate. It was a tough week, but
I'm sure.
That's what I see when you're going through stuff like that. No one asked, like help, no one.
But listen, you're the only
one. And I've given you a shout out on this podcast before about what you've done.
You never forget things like that, you know what I mean?
Like help the kids and our Christmas dinner and all was paid for. It was like, there's so much stuff you've done for us, and we really do. As a family, We'll never forget that. So I appreciate what you done, mate. It was
just very nice. Tom, mate.
Definitely.
I mean, that was tough what you went through, and you know, I think called around and all. I'd say, to be honest with you, I think everything that I do and everything that we do, it's about putting yourself in someone's shoes, and I can't imagine what you were all feeling that time. But what we wanted to do was let you know that the community were behind you and we're rallying around you, and you know, I was just a messenger that day, just going around and saying we're there for you.
Yes, man. So I appreciate it. It was obviously a terrible shit time for us. It was that time. It's never, when someone dies, it doesn't even matter what time of year. People always say, oh, it's so close to Christmas, but
yeah,
it's any time, it's going to be shit. But it was very nice what you've done for us. So we appreciate it big time, mate. Yeah. So you do a lot for the community as well, mate. And it's good now you're starting to get the recognition you deserve, mate, because you do a lot. And you've done a lot for me, and you do a lot for the community. So.
And I've seen that wee office on the turn.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
For years now, like that's been going for a good bit of time.
Yeah.
When did that first open up?
So I work in the wee Solidarity Hub. I work there every day, and
that's
the main thing was sometimes people coming around, it's difficult for them to ask for help and stuff. So we built this wee cafe, and I love it. It was like a local man's shed, and all come down and knocked it all out. There's nothing fancy about it, but it's a great wee spot, and come in, get a tea or a coffee. But it's just one of the places where it just breaks down the barriers. Because see, if you're going through something, you want to feel. We try to make people feel that sense of community around them, you know, so they can open up and talk. And it's just become this great place now where, you know, people can come and get a job. You know, we were talking there earlier, like 132 people turned up one day to get 8 jobs. We had 8 jobs
did
going.
They?
Aye. And 130, they were queued up down the road. People were wondering what was going on. Andy sounded like. But it was great. And that was, for me, it's been continuing. Like every week since, like with 30 odd jobs for civil service and stuff for, we had 20 jobs last week for the hospitality, like sort of line of work. And that was 20 people turned up for a job. 20 people got a job. Some people started that night and work. And that's not just for them. That's their families getting a lift, you know? So for us, it's not just about handing food out and stuff. It's about trying to empower people and let them know that, you know, there's better out there for us all. We just need to kind of, you know, lift our heads up and move towards it. And that's what we've been doing up there. It's been about empowerment. So the next big thing we're doing, which we're excited about, is that we're opening a new center. And again, that's been, you know, there's no money involved in this. This has just been us, like, kind of building it and then kind of worrying about what happens afterwards, you know. So it's we've got this new center, and it's called Education and Empowerment Center, and it's about giving kids the best chance. So it's about, we're going to have kids being referred on to us, you know, maybe kids who have the ability, but maybe they're being held back in their school because of, you know, financial difficulty in the family. Maybe they've suffered a bereavement, maybe some sort of trauma, homelessness, all these different things which we hear from schools and from families. And we're going to be providing free tuition from this new center, which it's been a dream of mine for years, you know, just to make that happen, because, you know, I've seen it myself, you know, I've seen a lack of opportunity, you know, well for people. And it's that sort of sense. And there's a big group of us pushing to get this open. We're hopefully going to be open in the next couple of days.
Days, aye.
So it's there. It's there. It's
whereabouts is it?
It's King Street. You know, King Street, just down off Castle Street. Aye. And yeah,
yes, people.
Definitely. Mate, you're gonna have a lot to be doing here. Like, you're gonna have a lot to be juggling.
Fair play, but it's got the call of day. Carl Frampton's got to come along, and he's got to open it for us, which is absolutely amazing.
That's class.
And there's a man who represents the very best of this place, you know. And we talk about, you know, the work we're doing. about it kind of breaking down barriers, about it being across all communities. There's no better man to come and represent that than Kyle Frampton. So fair play to him. He's got to come and launch that for us. And you guys are, of course, welcome to come down and at the launch as well.
What date is it? Do you know the date?
Be Tuesday the 28th.
Right, I will be back.
I'll give you a message.
If there's anything we can ever do for you, let us know, because we'd be happy to help. Because I honestly, people need to be doing more stuff about this. And there needs to be more awareness spread for all the stuff that you're doing, because there's not enough of it getting done in the community. And as John says, need more people like yourself, definitely.
Okay. So is that I'm gonna use upper and do your
and upper the for volunteers now. So there's we had a night one night we did a night and see Christmas is absolutely mental. It's just you're just numb. There's just so much going on, and Christmas we did 600 Christmas dinners out and out into the community. Have to give a shout out Lily's and Glenavy. They cook 600 dinners. On Christmas Eve, head of staff made 600 dinners. Unbelievable. We went up and collected them and we got them out into the community for people who were living on their own. You know, unbelievable. Things like that. But after Christmas, we went, right, we're going to have a bit of a thing here. We'll say thanks to your volunteers and fair play to the Balmoral. They got us a room up there and we had a bit of a night. And we didn't honestly sit down and think how many volunteers we had. It's over 100 volunteers turned up that night. And you sometimes don't realize there's just so many people. But that's 100 odd people. In the community, who's stepping up every day and saying, right, what can I do to help? You know, which I think is a real positive thing.
It is. Well, speaking on the Balmoral, mate, we're actually doing our first live podcast in the Balmoral on 2 weeks.
That's
time.
Right.
On the first November, we have Mick Conlon, some of his. Roberto
Stilo. Roberto
Stilo and Costa. So if you want to go up and watch and have a beer, mate.
You're more than welcome up.
And I have to give Mick Conlon a shout out. You know, and he probably, I don't know if you embarrass me saying this, and not a lot of people know us, but Mick Conlon a couple of years ago, pulled the stops out and he came to us and he gave us an awful lot of money to make sure kids had a Christmas.
Did he?
What a guy. I don't want to embarrass him, but he did. And we were round about struggling, trying to reach families. And Mick Conlon, you know, no questions asked. And he made sure that Christmas that so many kids, not just in West Belfast, but right across Belfast, had a Christmas. They woke up on Christmas morning with something, whereas they weren't going to wake up with anything. And he did that. So champion inside the ring, champion outside the ring,
mate,
as well.
He owns that Le Grab here, and my fucking kitchen's stacked at the top of the roof. I usually drink it. We're away in early in the morning on a flight, so I can't be drinking the night. I usually have a wee beer in the podcast, but Mick's a good lad. He's been on the podcast, and he's doing our live one.
Positive role model for the kids.
And see all the boxers that come from SRA, you know, Potty, McCrory, who came and all of them, like, you know, real legends. And them guys have come from the community and they know what people are going through. And you know, they're some of the first to come up and step up and say, look, what can I do to help? Yeah. So fair play to them all.
A lot of them even helped me, just giving words of encouragement, just even talking to people and having good conversations where you'd have thought before, like, fuck, you don't even realize people think that you exist or even know you. Do you know what I mean? And it just 100%. See, just even though someone older and you giving you a couple of words of encouragement, you don't realize how much it means to someone younger. You know what I mean? Who might be going through something. So.
Yeah, but same to talk about like people in this community and other communities with their heads down. They look up to people like that, and they're inspirational. You know, them guys are from our community and they're world champions. So it's unbelievable to think that, you know, of the whole world, they're from this area and they're world champions. So
there's something about West Belfast. See,
just going from the Badmouth Falls to the Tapia Falls, there's fucking some big boxers just along that whole road, like some big names.
Yeah.
It's Belfast. It's,
not just recent times, going back, it's been happening for.
Yeah. Would you be a fan of the boxing, would you?
I like boxing. Follow that, like, you can't help but follow it now because everyone's from the road.
I know.
That's the thing, but it's amazing. And
there's always now something to watch on a Saturday night,
and it's class, you know. And that's what you see. You see these guys, and they're so normal, so humble as well, and they're out literally, you know, world champions. It's amazing. It's amazing to see. Again, inspiring for a lot of young people, and you know what? Like in terms of not just in the ring, but what they're doing outside the ring as well. You know, they're good community people, which is amazing.
I actually went to the mixed fight there, the one even Dublin the other week. It was about a month ago. Oh, yeah, I was down, down at Dublin. It was good fight. Like, it was very good.
Some atmosphere, I'm sure.
I ended up meeting up with the matter and having a beer and all. It was good crack.
Yeah.
I stayed down. Look, Dublin's dear as fuck.
Yeah.
Dear as fuck. Go to a boxing fight and you go to watch it live, I end up standing, you end up standing at the bar talking shit to everybody and then sitting watching most of the fights. Do you know what I mean?
My uncle's from Ardong and he moved over to England and he was a massive fan of Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson must have had some sort of comeback where he started fighting in like England and Scotland all years ago.
Yes, that's right.
And so my uncle says, right, loves him. I'm going to go and I'm going to get a loan out of whatever, credit union or whatever. And I'm going to go to see Mike Tyson. This is it. I'm going to pay ringside and all this here. So he went and he's sitting. He's on his own. If nobody else could afford a ticket to sit beside him. He's sitting there, saved up all his money. And he hears like the ring, the corner man giving Tyson like these directions and orders. And he says, I'd love to hear just what to say to him because he's an animal. He's an absolute machine. I'd love to hear what his coaches say to him. And he walked over and he earwigged and he went and he heard whatever they said and he heard the bell ding ding and he went back to sit in the seat. And next thing he heard this big roar. Tyson knocked him out before he got back to his seat.
Did he miss it?
Fuck's sake.
I was telling you. Brilliant.
Credit union getting paid back for another year after that. Yeah. I didn't get to see a
couple of years, I think. Yeah.
Did you see the Tyson fight when he fought Jake Paul? Did you watch it?
I couldn't face it. See him YouTube exhibitions. I haven't got the patience to watch it because they're not even. Like,
I watched them, but I mean, it's not right. He shouldn't be fighting. Like, Jake Paul's a prime of his life. Tyson's fucking, he's been retired 30 years or something.
Yeah.
He's a mad bastard too, but do you ever see the video of him? He's like, my back's broken. He's standing in the middle of the ring. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, vertebrae.
Do you ever see his podcast? Have you watched his podcast?
He's fucking nuts, mate.
He takes mushrooms and all on it and just fucking starts, he's tripping balls, talking to his guests. His guests are just sitting looking at him going, what is going on here? No, that was Rampage.
Was it?
Rampage's son was a wrestler, so is that who you're on about? No?
Rampage, is he not a UFC fan?
Aye, but it was his son knocked somebody out a couple weeks ago.
There was a video with Tyson's son, 16, knocked an 18, 19-year-old man who was giving him jib at the edge of the corner, and he baked that bricks off, and we fell out to pull him off. He's twice his age of his death.
Tyson was in Hangover, wasn't he? I reckon that was just him. He was just acting himself, wasn't he?
Probably was, aye, but he would have got big though for that, like. He would have got big though. Hangover's my favorite, like the whole trilogy is my favorite film. Yeah. Like, see, every time it's weird because every time I have a hangover, I watch it. I just put them on, just lay in bed and watch them all.
One of my go-to comedies. Like,
the thing is, we're comedies now. Like fucking societies want. Like, oh, it's like you can't get a funny comedy. See, from like 1990 to like 2010, that was. The best era for film. See, like, have you ever watched Road Trip or like old school?
The
ones Will Ferrell was in his prime of his life. Right. I think Step Brothers was the last ever good Will Ferrell film.
Because comedies don't even go into cinemas anymore; they just go straight on the Netflix. It's not the same. Do you remember Pool of Moves? Like, they need to make an R show like that, like an old Belfast comedy show. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, lads, you two should be on it.
There was one out there called Unholy Lands. It was a movie. It was just two local lads just made that, and it's just all people, their mates and all, are all filmed. Yeah. It's done professionally, But anything happens to that, and you just need two West Belfast scumbags, me and Liam will do it.
We could make our own TV show. You wouldn't copy Pooter Moves, but you could kind of make an old sketch of all the funny wee things that have went on over your years, like.
You have to be sketches. Pull a moose. What are you going back now? For 20 years?
Somewhere like.
I
actually follow big.
I care, Nolan. Imagine. We've been trying to get him on the podcast for a while, but.
Did you watch The Blame Game, though?
Is that who's host that?
It's like sketches. Dad from fucking.
Get my headpiece.
Are you yours? No, get my headpiece.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
New Day, get my headpiece.
I don't think. Is there any show? Blue Lace.
But it's not a comedy. Yeah. Like no, it's good, more serious. It's a drama.
It has to be done right. Comedy from here has to be done right. Because otherwise, it's fucking really cringy.
It could be gimmicky. Derry
Girls, did you watch it?
I loved it.
Do you know I was filmed in New Barnsley?
That's right.
I was like a couple of doors down from my mum's house. They were all just running about the street. Yeah. It was mad.
You could see it right away. Once you see it in the show, you can see it right away.
What's that sent? 90 or 80s, is it? And then it's all, when you're on the street, it's all French patio doors and all. You want to see them doors back in.
Yeah. Me and Sean Paul were on the drink one time leaving Mick Kearney's house, and we seen them all filming. We were going, "Yo, can we bounce in?" Trying to jump in now, but the word for having it, like trying to make a few extras. But
I have an outclaim to fame for Derry Girls, and it was like the wee girl Jenny Joyce. I used to be a musician years ago. That's an art.
Jenny Joyce, the nerd, is she?
She was in. We were a band from West Belfast, and she was in our music video.
What was your genre of music?
We like rock, pop, indie type thing, wrote our own music sort of thing. So she was in one of our music way before Derry Girls. Like,
we were on the judges for, it was like a talent show in Austin, and she was the other judge.
Alright,
so we were listening to her and we sat and had lunch and all.
Really, really nice girl.
Lovely lady.
She's not from here though, she's not from Belfast, isn't she?
Oh,
she's Derry, is she? Some of the Derry Girls in that show are English.
Yeah,
they just put that actually.
You wouldn't think it's
a great show, but
it is all right.
There's nothing worse, but when you watch something and they kill our accent, like there somebody from America tries to do our accent, they're just absolutely murdered.
Nah, it's not good. It's not good at all.
Have you ever watched Sons of Anarchy? And they go to Belfast. Have you seen it, John? Oh, it's terrible.
I heard a few lines and it was good. Like the scar chimps and all spits in the cops face. That's good show.
Even your man who plays Jax, he's doing the American accent. He's not even good doing the American accent. You can tell he's English. Like,
yeah, he
well. That's the guy who plays Ed Gein.
Ed Gein, yeah.
Ed Gein, the monster. I haven't watched it all, but I've seen a wee clip. Have you finished it?
Have you watched it yet?
No, not
so, here, do you get an office down in the City Hall, do you?
Aye.
You do?
Aye. You should do the next podcast from it.
Would you have been able to bring us in though?
I never thought of it until now, actually.
Use your poll, get us down.
I know.
Not many people saying what it says they've done a podcast. And is one ever been done in the city?
We'll have to do it incognito, like they wouldn't let me do it.
Definitely not.
You just wouldn't get into the front door now. He's like,
we did one in a beef it before.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It was pretty funny.
See, walking a through a beef, mate, we were getting, like, you're walking up the strip in a beef, and the concert shouting out, they recognize us from the podcast. And we've been to London and all, we've been recognized in London. All.
It's a weird feeling in a different country. It's funny, people from Belfast would kind of see, like, do you know?
No, you bump into people everywhere. Like, I can never forget, like, this is the thing, you bump into somebody from West Belfast. Anywhere in the planet.
We said on the podcast before, see if someone even does a big spit, you can tell they're from fucking West Belfast. You can't, all right. I seen you on holiday here. I had to go at some country road. I know,
years ago, so me and lads from all West used to tour about these musicians, right? And we got asked this time to go and play in this place in Switzerland, and it was in the Alps in Switzerland, right? And I was like, from playing in the fucking Green Hut to the Swiss Alps. And we all jumped in and we went over, and it was like fucking 6 foot of snow and all the tuck us up. And it kept taking us up to this, the top of the mountain where ski resort. And we didn't know ourselves. I never forget getting up the, and they brought us into this big cabin. We're all sitting having our dinner. And we've been out there for about 3 or 4 days. No, you're away from everyone, speaking a different language and stuff. And I was up at the bar. I was sitting there, and there was a woman up at the bar, and I heard, "Tommy, don't do harp." I got that. And I went, I'm losing the plot here. I was in here 3 or 4. Don't do harp. And he was going, "Get us butter or something, love or something out there." And I was going, "I'm fucking dabbing here." I walked over and I goes, "Love, where are you from?" She goes, "Poglass."
Oh,
and I went, what are you doing in the middle of the Swiss Alps? And she says, "I'm a son's a skiing instructor." And I went, "Where the fuck did he learn to ski?"
Not in Poglass,
I know. But it's so that's the thing. You literally meet somebody from West Belfast anywhere.
We were away on a boat, and we were in the middle of the ocean. We just heard the Irish accent. Some fell where we chaired. And
it ripples through a crowd. The accent just, is fucking tough. Yeah. Like, yeah. It is all right. When you hear your own voice on camera, it's a wee bit cringy. But I love the Belfast accent. When I go on holiday, I really, really struggle for people to understand me. I talk so fast. They call me the Tasmanian Darling. But everyone can understand him.
Yeah. You and him are talking, have the same conversation. And no one understands him.
I guess because he's a rapper.
Sticks out everywhere. See what I called? There's a guy from Turfax, Con. Me and him one day, it was years ago, 2012. The way they have the extras thing about here. There's a mate of mine. Tortured us one night to go in and said, "Here, Game of Thrones is being filmed. You fancy coming around? You have all beards, so we'll go in. We'll try to do an audition for be an extra." I mean, I called around and did it. And the mate who really wanted to do it didn't get a call up. Me and the other guy did. He had read all the books and all. So anyway, we went around and they took us to this like a beach somewhere, and they were lighting all these big torches, and we were all on the beach. And so it was something about some scene where they were going to invade like a city. And they had this big famous actor, and he goes, and the director says, American director said, "Right, lads, see whenever he says, right, we're going to take this city, we want you to all roar, like, is there warriors and all this here?" And he goes, "So your man, the actor, goes up, all dramatic, he goes, we're going to take this city." And all you heard was, "You." And your man cut, and he goes, "Well, whoever the fuck's from West Belfast is shut up the next day."
Seen Anthony Boyd done that there in one of his speeches. Do you know Anthony?
Oh, aye, he's doing brilliant. Yeah.
It was last year, 2 years. He won some big award, yeah. And he's because he talks all professional, and then he just went, "Yeah."
That's the all these ones back home, legend.
Yeah, he's fucking blew up massively, flan, hasn't he? That House of Guinness is brilliant. He's fucking. It's in Louise's where he learned his drama.
That's right, yeah.
And now look at him, he's fucking rubbing shoulders with a fucking
Hollywood. That's amazing. And again, like, it's mental, all these people from this community, from Belfast and the West especially, and they're doing brilliant like that, yeah, so fair play to him.
He done a good job of being the doc as well.
Oh, that's good.
He was brilliant in that, yeah.
I know, there'd be a lot of pressure on you having a new role like that as well.
Did you watch Say Nothing?
Yeah.
It was good, wasn't it?
Powerful stuff, aye. And it was one of them ones where, like, I started watching that. I didn't know, because it goes back to our thing where sometimes they get it wrong and sometimes it's cringy. But you know what? It probably helped that he was from here. And, you know, he probably grew up around a lot of that. And he knew a sense of it. And I thought it was very real.
It was accurate enough, like.
Yeah.
I seen, like, the Shaft of the Fuck with a Cherry, like. It was a fucking, it was a great show. I was one of the shows that was filmed, was it the Divis Towers?
It used to have 5 blocks or something before I got knocked down years ago. So hard of, like,
I know, that's where I was wondering. It must have been filmed somewhere else.
Yeah.
But behind the Divis Tower looked like there was blacks, but it's like blue lights as well. You look and they're going over like Tate's Avenue, and then they turn the corner and they're fucking, because you know the streets. Yeah. And next thing they're over like the other side of Belfast, like they've obviously cut there and then filmed somewhere else.
Are they in Turf Lodge saying we're in Glendale Estate or something?
For the first episode of the first ever series was up on the top of Turf, I think.
That's right, it is all right. They're at the Peace Wall just before it, and they get to undercovers or something beside the Peace Wall, and then they drive up and get your E-man's, they call their Maz,
right.
E-man's Maz house, and it's in Turf.
It's weird seeing it on TV, isn't it? Hilarious, you know.
I've only seen the first episode.
The kneecap, your man, it's Pucky Lee, is the dad. The kneecap is son. And he's like, he's brilliant, isn't he? What, is he Johnny Dogs or something? Have you watched Peaky Blinders, have you?
Yeah, it's great.
I haven't seen it.
It's brilliant. Great
show. Kelly Murphy's such an actor. I was rocking, we were wearing suits the other day, and I was rocking one of the wee hats, the the wee granda.
So he was. He was running about like Gavin Shelby the other day.
It was a prop.
Speaking of Eric Sloan,
yes.
I might need
a waistcoat.
Yeah.
I get you on the bar. I'm sitting there for you.
And I'm away 2 o'clock tomorrow, so I might need, if you're about tomorrow day, I could see 100%.
Yes, I'll give it to you in the bar.
John's Mass started her own. Is it like a fashion brand? What's it called?
Brandon's
Irish Linen, and it's like off.
Bringing the old school back to the new school, my man. Authentic Irish linen. So we'll put a wee trail.
So if anyone watching, check it out. John has an actual clothing brand named after him. She named the waistcoat after. It's a John. The most basic name in the world.
Is that what
John?
You say when you come out of your womb too? It's a John.
So we see that new shop spot you're opening in the town, King Street.
Yeah.
So what way is it going to work? How many are going to go down there? Are you going to split up? We're going to open it up.
So it's like, it's got to be working with schools, and schools are going to like be sending the kids down. There's going to be art therapy. There's got to be, you know, breakfast clubs happening down there, but all about education as well. But working with the schools, you know, the schools are our biggest driver. They're telling us what's happening. Communities are telling us what's happening. You know, and homes behind closed doors and stuff as well. So, that's the next big thing. But it's, you know what it is, it's like you're trying to tackle what's going on in the community. And sometimes, you know, a parcel of food's not enough. You know, we're looking at the long term impacts. You know, we're trying to get people into jobs. We're trying to give kids the best chance and give them, you know, better opportunities. So that's what that center's for. You know, and it's great. And again, it hasn't been something that fucking governments went and funded or something like that. It's literally been community pulling together, and these people have come together who are like working construction, who do ceilings, who, you know, painters, like joiners, all sorts of brilliant people have just pulled together and says, you know what, we believe in what you're doing, we want to make it happen. And yeah, they see what we're trying to do here for kids in the community. Many of themselves have maybe had have grew up and have had a rough upbringing, and they don't want others to kind of go through the same. So it's a powerful thing, like seeing people do it.
Can't believe it, Lily. That's Lily Johnson's do that many meals on
600 meals. Absolute legend.
And you see, the thing is too, their food is fucking powerful. I've had there. Yeah, it's fucking good shit. That's good for a plate of them.
And you know what? They're a great team up there, and they brought their staff in and paid their staff to come and cook all these meals. We went out and dropped them out. And you know what? It was just we put it out into the community, and we said to people in West Belfast and all over Belfast, really, listen, is there somebody in your street that maybe is on their own and could do a cheering up at Christmas, knock on the door? And it was one of our volunteers, and dozens of volunteers go out, knock on the door, say, look, happy Christmas, how are you doing? Or is a wee meal?
Do you do it surprisingly? Do you surprise
them? Yeah,
like
a lot of people wouldn't know it's coming. You know,
would you be a lot of older people too? I would imagine, because you know, like
across the board,
they lose like their husbands or wives or whatever.
Aye.
You get them. I always think about, especially around Christmas time. Yeah. I always think about that, like we old pensioners, kind of just sitting.
So everybody has somebody in their street you're always trying to look out for. But see, for us, it was crazy. So we were going out on Christmas, and somebody would answer the door, and you'd maybe have like one wee man up. Kind of sticks in my head where he says I didn't order this. He says, no, your neighbors, in fact his neighbor, either both neighbors either side contacted me separately and
did
said
they are,
could,
and
you
I know.
Could you get this wee man? And he says, no, your neighbors looking out for me. He goes, I'd never spoke to my neighbors, I don't know them. And then I just fucking start crying, you know. It was just knowing the people were looking out for him. But and then we went to our houses, and how are you getting on? Oh, I'm dead on, just a wee bit cold in here. Fucking people living with no heating in their houses for like 3 months. I was like, man, Christmas Day we went out, and he hadn't had heat since September. He had a broken boiler. So we, you know, thank God we had people volunteering who could go out and turn their hand to anything. So they were out fixing boilers. But it's sad like that's going on. But again, the positive thing is there's people that are stepping up and willing to.
Some of my boys just want a yarn, mate. That's some of the people. 100%.
And that's half of
it. A conversation.
And that's what our, you know, the team up are volunteers for play. And they'll stand, get a chat, and see how people are doing. And sometimes that's the only conversation somebody will have in 1 week the next, you know. So it's.
I know, it's sad, like, isn't it, when you think about it?
So usually I heavily on, like, places like Lily Johnson's and, like,
people
like
are
local
people that volunteer. Because the government don't fancy. See, the government, they spend their money on the stupidest shit and the stuff that actually really matters. Like education, people on the streets, homelessness, they don't put their money where it actually needs to go, hospitals, stuff like that. It's mad to think.
Well, that's what that is. What we're doing up there, that's where governments failed people. You know, the community stepped up and says, no, it is. We're not prepared to let kids go hungry. We're not prepared to let people live in cold homes. We're not prepared that a kid's going to school without a school uniform, and that's what our community's done.
And because it used to be like that loads of years ago too, you would have had a more of a community like feeling in Belfast, whereas there has been a lot of it's been lost. Like I remember, well, my street still has them sometimes. Remember, you would have had street parties and all.
Ah, yeah.
People,
yeah,
everybody, sorry, like
block a street off and
away you went.
Van shops and all. Remember van shops? You know what I mean, you don't see them anymore. What's
so, Paul? If someone wants to make a donation coming up to Christmas, what do they do? What way do they do it?
Yeah, go to our website, and again, you can go on, and the money that you give would go towards, you know, kids' breakfast in the morning, or go towards helping with free tuition, or go towards community meals, or gifts for kids for Christmas as well. So all those different things, and you can go on to our website and donate from there and find out a bit more about what we're doing, and maybe, you know, you might want to get involved as well.
What is the website?
foodstockcharity.com.
We'll put the link and stuff everything up on the page.
Yep. All right. So if you have toys, like new toys, like you buy toys, do you throw them in or?
Yeah, you can drop them in. So that's open now, and that's what we're doing. We're working with like a Belfast Trust. We're working with, you know, children's cancer units, different places, and ensuring that, you know, we're families sadly can contemplate not having a Christmas, and we're, as a community, we're pulling together and make sure that they do.
It's good to have like places or people like yourselves.
Yeah, that's the thing, and it's an important part of it all. You know, when you're dealing with this sort of thing, and it's about dignity, it's about people's dignity. That's the most important thing. There's a stigma around all this, you know. There's a stigma about
100%, mate.
You know, people using a food bank, or even, you know, there's a lot of working families out there. There's people who are working right now who, you know, their landlords doing them in, they're bumping their rent up, you know, and they're scumbag landlords all over this place, and they're making people's lives hell. There's landlords here who are basically making sure that people are becoming homeless and out in the street. There's kids and their parents sofa surfing right now as a result of landlords' greedy actions, you know, and that's what we see every day in this community. So, you know, when it comes to stuff like Christmas as well, some people say, like, it's toys not really a priority, but you know what? We all remember Christmas. We all remember,
exactly,
like being with our family, and so for us,
present.
It's about that family unit. It's about creating memories, and you know, if we can help in some way, you know, we're up for doing it.
Is there any ages where you would struggle with certain ages?
Teenagers always, you know, teenagers often get a kind of bad shout where it's hard because people are often thinking, you know, toy appeal to go out and buy for young people. So we often say, you know, think. Remember the teenagers and stuff as well are sometimes left behind when it comes to Christmas appeals.
You can imagine it's easier buying toys when you go into Smith's, but for a teenager, there's not much. Like,
no, clothes.
Clothes, phones.
People will be very good, and they'll get vouchers and stuff as well, which is good. But we're going to do a wee giving tree, a Christmas tree up at the hub. And so whenever we get a referral from, say, a Belfast Trust and say, you know, there's a wee boy, age 8, and he likes football, we'll have a wee tag up on the tree. And people can come and collect it, and you know, they can take on that child for
Christmas
stuff.
That's
so
brilliant.
So we're doing that from the hub, and that's going to be starting in the next couple of weeks. So we're just asking people to get behind it, and if they can, you know, I know people are struggling out there themselves, but if they can do it, you know, it'd make a big difference. Sometimes people who do get involved in that sort of stuff don't see the impact. We see the impact. You know, I often tell a story about, you know, it was Boxing Day actually, and me and a guy, Paul, we're walking, we're up in Twinbrook, and we're walking through like flats, and we were dropping a food parcel off to someone, and there was a girl coming down with her two kids, and Paul would talk to anybody, and he goes, "Oh, all right, kids, you have a good Christmas," and they were just nodding away, and he says, "Well, what did Santa get you?" And the wee boy turned around and says, "Oh no, we moved house, sir, and Santa didn't know where we live, but he's got to get us
Jesus
next year."
Christ, man, I'd fall.
And it broke me. It absolutely broke me, and it broke Paul as well. And we, this is the reality of what goes on, you know, domestic violence. She had to leave the home before Christmas, and the kids didn't get a Christmas. So thank God, because of the power of community, people had overdone it that year. And I, in my head, I was going, like, we have a hockey table down there. We have this, we have that, we have that. And we filled that house.
It's
because we had stuff over, you know, and that woman was so grateful. And those kids had a great Christmas, and she made up, you know, something of Santa, found out where we live and stuff like that. That's what community is all about. That's what looking out for people is all about. And that's why we do it. And we go harder every year, because we know that's going on in communities. There's people going through all sorts of shit, you know, but as a community, we're not prepared to let it happen. We're there's pulling together.
People are that you may not realize are there at the game or in the background. People you may not even know exist, but they'll be people that come in and step
100%.
You must bring, like, obviously you're going, you'll see and hear a lot that's going on in the community, but you must bring, I must come home with you and fucking, you must sit and think about that.
Yeah.
I would, I'm sure, like, obviously calling the people's door, seeing the way they're living and stuff. Does that get to you, does it?
Yeah.
The word,
you never get used to it. You never get used to seeing somebody in your community going through that, you know, but you kind of have to use it as a motivator, and you kind of, you know, you channel it into action, the community action, and that's what we've done up there, you know. I'm proud of that. It's, there's so many people just saying, look, what can I do to help and to step up, and that's what we see every day in the community with Food Stalker. So, yeah, it's tough seeing people going through stuff, but you have to try to find a solution, you know. It's no point just saying, oh, that's awful, you know. You have to try to find a way to,
you definitely should be proud, like, because it's amazing what you're doing. It's inspiring as well. See, people like us, we're young, we would like to help a lot more than what we know, but we don't really know much about what's going on until we speak to, like, people like yourself as well, and you go, we could help out. Listen, too,
we're getting the message out here.
That's it. So spread the
word.
Thing.
Spread the word, and, you know, everybody has, you know, the potential to step up for others and make a difference. So
yeah. 100%. And see another point as well, what you were saying about the center, like, it's you can help kids when they're in school, and but it's when they leave school, where do they go after that, you know what I mean? See, people like used to go to youth clubs, and then it just goes to nightclubs after that, and people be running about trying to get into places to shoot in early ages, and you can lead people down wrong paths very quickly too. So it's good what you're doing, definitely.
Here, so who's lighting the Christmas lights this year down in the City Hall? Paul, are you lighting them?
Any
no, I'm a deputy, so I'll not be. I'll be the mayor doing it. But
get Bertie here. Down.
We'll be lighting Christmas lights up in Nannytown. You boys are welcome.
If you need two good-looking podcasters, maybe we can come do it. No sweat.
100%, yeah. We do it every year up there. You know, we light the big tree in Nannytown, and we bring all the families together and have a bit of a celebration with Santa, aka Buster from Ace Taxis, comes in, and the best Santa ever. I mean, that man goes into character. I've seen him in Fruit Hill and Saturday night there, and he's growing the beard out already. It's only
the real
dedication.
I mean, he is the real Santa.
Well, mate, I'll be making a donation this year after what you've done for me last year, so I appreciate that big time, mate. And thank you for coming on, mate.
Appreciate your time. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
If there's anything you want to shout out as well,
we'll plug all your pages and stuff, but you want to shout out Lily Johnson's or whatever else.
Lily Johnson's here, whole community for stepping up every day, you know, and we're going to go again this Christmas. So if anybody can help us and try to reach families this year, you're more than welcome to come and put your shoulder to the wheel. So thank you, folks.
Happy do your days. Bit, people. All these people watching, do your bit for the community. Do you know what I mean? It's just something small. Could be something big to someone else who you don't know.
Happy days.
But thanks very much for coming on, Paul. Appreciate you, mate.
Cheers, lads.
Legend.